This is the Broadly Focused Podcast, bringing you grown-up conversations about political, human rights and civil rights news items as they relate to religion and atheism. We're giving you fair warning now, subject matter and language are uncensored. If you are prone to taking offence, take a hike. Here are your hosts, Matt and Brian.
Hello and welcome to the Broadly Focused Podcast. This week our topics are Obama affirms belief that same-sex couples should get married, Kansas and the No Taxpayer Money for Abortion Act, we can build the Enterprise within 20 years. My topic of interest for the week, SpaceX and the first commercial aircraft to dock with ISS, Brian's Artemis, a Starship Command Deck simulator. So how you doing, man?
I'm pretty good. You know, every time I hear that song, I just think it needs bigger drums.
Well, screw you, man.
Well, no, I mean, it needs the whole, you know, drum and crash and cymbal and everything else going on there.
Well, yeah, this
it's
is
not
the...
that your drumming is poor in it. It's that it needs bigger drums. The guitar work demands that driving 80s.
Yeah, we actually, the trap set hadn't been recorded yet for this. So we, they had a drum machine loop that they had it recorded on. And
it needs busted zildjians when it's done.
Yeah, yeah, they just hadn't gotten what was his name? I can't remember the drummer's name. They just hadn't gotten in there to record yet. But. For anyone who's wondering, I've meant to ask him a couple times now how he wants us to do this and if he wants us to mention it and everything. I guess I should probably ask him before I do, just in case.
Ask Mr. X if he wants to be mentioned in reference with his own music.
I suppose. Anyway, it's a friend of ours, and he was in a band called, I guess it was officially Frame 313 UK. Because I guess it was a band that already had used it here in the US. So Frame 313 UK was the band. Now, their album was awesome.
I loved it.
It was called Supernatural Cheese. I still listen to it in the rotation as much as about anything else I own. Holds up pretty well, too. Maybe one of these days we'll play a piece of it. The thing is, I don't think you can buy it anywhere. I don't think the guys can still make money.
I don't think it's in actual production of any kind.
Yeah, it was on mp3.com for a while.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was on mp3.com for a while, and you could buy it for $10, and they would get like $2-3 or $5 or whatever the hell they got.
Right.
But and I bought it through there just to support them. But
oh, wow. Yeah, no, I still have my hand-pressed copies. So.
Right on. I actually don't have the disc copy anymore. I have... I
ripped
jacket.
It years ago, and then I put it with the CDs, which are in the case, which are...
Unfortunately, I lost it before I ripped it. So I had to... I actually asked him for it, and he sent me...
Well, I have both, actually.
What do you mean?
Well, they had the eight. They had the full album, and then they had a four-song EP.
Oh, yeah. I didn't have the... I never got the EP.
Yeah.
But this is actually post-EP. They were working on some tracks for the next album, and they were just jamming some stuff out. This is not representative of a complete... work by anything. There wasn't the drummer wasn't even on there. It was just Billy.
Oh, good Lord, no. It was just whoever happened to show up that day kind of thing. I remember being there for a lot of that.
Yeah. So and they basically recorded something for me to riff off of and see if I could come up with some good drums for it.
It was very bohemian.
And I was playing along with it and they said, hey, let's get you on a track real quick. And so that's how I ended up on that track. I never ended up recording anything officially with the band. I just jammed with them a few times and my musicianship level was not anywhere near where it needed to be. And I recognized that. And the rest of the band recognized that. And I think Billy, our friend, was just kind of
gently
trying to
nodded you out.
Well, no, he was trying to be nice about it. You know what I mean? And I was like, I was kind of telling him too, like, listen, the guys are right. Like, I'm not good enough to be in this band. Like, if you want me to come in and record some session stuff real quick, like I might be able to cut it after a bunch of takes, but for me to try and hang with you guys is ridiculous. You guys are, you know, professional musicians, really. And I'm some guy that likes to play the drums, you know what I mean? Likes to smack the drum. So,
yeah, it's not that you're an amateur because that term is misused.
Oh, I'm definitely an amateur. I've never been paid to drum.
Never?
I was never paid to drum.
Okay.
I did some street fairs and some performances and stuff, but I did public performances, but none of them were paid.
Okay.
But in any case.
All right.
Yeah. So, moving right along, let's get going with our first story here.
Very, very first story. Rule clip.
I had hesitated on gay marriage, in part because I thought civil unions would be sufficient, that that was something that would give people hospital visitation rights and other elements that we take for granted. I was sensitive to the fact that for a lot of people, you know, the word marriage was something that evokes very powerful traditions, religious beliefs, and so forth. But I have to tell you that over the course of several years, as I talk to friends and family and neighbors, when I think about members of my own staff who are in incredibly committed monogamous relationships, same-sex relationships, who are raising kids together, when I think about those soldiers or airmen or Marines or sailors who are out there fighting on my behalf and yet feel constrained, even now that Don't Ask, Don't Tell is gone, because they're not able to commit themselves in a marriage. At a certain point, I've just concluded that for me personally, it is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
So there you have it. The president finally steps up and says that at least on a personal level, he is in support of gay marriage. Part of me just wants to say, well, it's about fucking time, but you know, yeah, it's politics.
See, that's my only issue with it, is he's been so wishy-washy over the years. He has gone from literally both parks. You know, he's been, nope, man and woman, and then, yeah, I got no problem with it, over and over again. That, yeah.
And you and I were looking before we started recording, and we found reference to, you know, comments in 2008.
Yeah. Oh, I found another Politico piece, actually, which is where we got the video clip of the president speaking.
Yeah, that's where I got the video clip. It's from Politico. The story itself has been absolutely fucking everywhere. So
yeah, there's another article on Politico called "Evolve Obama Gay Marriage Quotes," and it's just 12 quotes from over about 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and it goes back and forth. Yeah, in one, he believes marriage is a union between a man and a woman. Now, it's for me as a Christian. For me as a Christian, it is also a sacred union. God's in the mix. That was in 2008.
Which is
an election year. So
right,
I'm like,
right.
So the fact that he's doing this in election year, and I find it's funny that Biden is simply turning into Dan Quayle Redux, you know?
I don't know about that, but I mean, I think Biden's a bit smarter, but I think that Biden may have pushed a little bit too early. I think that as story has it, Obama's camp is claiming that Biden's camp pushed them into this about six months earlier than what they wanted to do. I think that it might have been more effective as a bomb just before the election.
Absolutely. I mean, that would have been great politicking on their part.
Yeah. I'm convinced that even though it's the right thing, and mm-hmm. I'm all for it because it's the right thing. Don't let anything get in the way of me of understanding that I think it's the right thing, and I'm glad he did it, and good on him.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that I have to imagine that somebody is fairly convinced that he will not lose as many people and as much money as he will gain. As many votes and as much money as he will gain by doing this. And I would like to hope that they're absolutely correct. And I really, really hope that's the case. I really hope this doesn't hurt him, because if it does, it really says something about the sort of disgusting state of our country, or backward state, at least, of our country and its beliefs about people's rights, human rights, you know?
I really have no argument with you on that one. It's one of those issues where we're fully in agreement.
I know.
We were just at the 40th birthday party for one of my wife's high school friends, and he and his partner are the most affectionate, loving couple I've seen in years. And the fact that they can't get married after this many years is just kind of,
let's hope.
Just kind of shake your head.
Let's hope that's on its way out soon. I mean, we know we've had, there's still some work to be done, but at least mm-hmm. the major hurdle has been overcome, and it has been deemed unconstitutional. And so hopefully we can get the moratorium lifted, or the effective moratorium. I don't think it's actually called that right now, but hopefully we can get that lifted and get marriages going on in California again.
Yeah, that would be nice. Especially since they're legal in so many others right now.
Yeah. So thank you, Obama, for doing the right thing and for encouraging, helping to encourage.
One of the few times you'll hear me say anything remotely like that.
Right. Yeah, no kidding. But I hope this encourages a lot of people to also openly declare and affirm, mm-hmm. as he says, that you think that this is the right thing, because it really is the right thing. And the more people who say it out loud, the easier it's going to be for people who are afraid to, and the harder.
In my mind, there is no possible legal justification under our system of government for excluding them from the same type of contractual relationship between partners. If I had my druthers, well, we'd axe marriage altogether, give it back to the churches, and everybody would get the same fucking contract. It would not define sex. It would simply be partner A and partner B agree to these joint rights, blah, 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 blah. And everything that's currently listed under, you know, a marriage right would be listed under this, you know, whatever you want to call a domestic contract.
Well, here's my thing.
They go between any party. So sex doesn't matter.
Right.
Provided they're legal consenting age and, you know, there's no other existing problems that would prevent it.
See, my thing is, except like for
sanguination
this,
laws.
Except for this particular issue.
I should say. Yeah.
I don't really have a big problem with marriage. I think that it's fucked up, but I think there's a lot of things in America that are fucked up. I think there are...
What are we getting there?
It's my phone being too close to the speaker there. I think we get a lot of things fucked up, and I think that this one is just one that's fucked up, like marketing is fucked up and things like that. You know, it's not fucked up like we need to fix this right now.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things where I do see the argument a lot of the, you know, the religious conservatives make, where primarily traditionally in Western culture, marriage is man and woman, or man and multiple women.
Yeah, well, traditionally in Western culture for many years, it was white man and white woman.
Yeah.
And traditionally for many years, it was Catholic and Catholic.
That's what I'm saying. I understand the historicity argument. I do. And since most of these are co-opted from religions... You know, particularly in Western history, it's supposed to be a quote-unquote biblical representation, other than, you know, keeping it, you know, one wife.
Right.
Which drives me nuts.
Right.
That it drives me nuts.
Where's your biblical precedence for monogamy?
Yeah, show me a, you know, show me somebody in there who didn't have either multiple wives or multiple concubines or multiple wives and concubines.
Right. I've actually seen a chart.
I've seen the same charts. Oh, they're hilarious. There's a couple in there. There's a few.
Right.
And the argument I always get back is, well, you know, God's design, as you can see in the early Genesis and Leviticus arguments, is that it's for one man and one woman.
Right.
But man doesn't always adhere to God's design. I'm like, don't give me that it's broken argument.
These are your prophets you're talking about here. Yeah.
Look, you want me to be virtuous and you're saying you guys can't do it? Oh, fuck off. You know?
Right. Right, the revered
ones
of the Bible.
Which is not a statement of disbelief. It's a it's a statement of, oh, you guys fuck off.
Yeah, no kidding. So, moving right along, we've got...
this one is fascinating reading, you got to admit. When you get into the actual bill...
Well, here's the thing.
I bet your wife would love reading it.
Well, the more... I only got 2 pages into the actual bill itself. It's so circuitous and talking back on itself.
Oh, no, no, no. There's some very straight-up stuff in here. It flat out says doesn't create a right to abortion. It gives the father the right to sue if she aborts without his consent or if she's under 18.
Wow.
The parent or guardian. And they can sue the practitioner who provided the abortion up to 3 times the cost of the abortion.
Wow.
Yeah.
Among other things, this bill places a sales tax on all abortions, 6.3%, which is just
Oh, that was my favorite bit because I didn't know you could do this, but it would no longer allow you to comp the cost of an abortion against your state medical taxes exemption.
Oh, so you should be able to include it as
I guess
out of pocket medical expenses?
Something like that. I got to find the actual statement. It's
retardedness. A personhood measure that would define life as beginning at conception. See, this is the whole thing. This bullet point right here tells me that the rest of this is pretty much a smokescreen. Like, why are people focusing on the sales tax issue? Mm-hmm. A personhood measure is included, basically, in this bill that would define life as beginning at conception, which would almost certainly make abortion equivalent to murder and outlaw abortion in the state of Kansas.
Now, let's see here. Abortion, same meaning, so that doesn't change. Helpline benefit, healthcare entity, state agency. Well, see, it starts off pretty straightforward. I can see where this would be a normal Republican bill. No money is appropriated from the fund, from the general fund or from any special revenue expended for abortions. All right, that's been going on for God knows the length of their fucking campaigns. Here it is. No tax credit shall be allowed against any income tax, premium, or privileged tax liability, and no exemption shall be granted from sales or compensating use tax for that portion of such amounts paid or incurred for an abortion.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. You can no longer put your abortion on your taxes.
Whatever. But does it include a personhood measure?
Let's see how well Chrome does here.
Because this other stuff, like what reason do you have to significantly limit abortions in the third trimester if they're all illegal because they're murder?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's several restaurants. Let's see if personhood shows up. Nope.
Doctors are hereby ordered to lie to women. Sorry, it doesn't say that. Doctors are hereby ordered to tell women that abortion causes breast cancer. Oh, which is a damn lie. I forgot I'm reading an editorial here.
Doctors are required to quote from outdated and since debunked research.
Right.
Would be a better way of phrasing that. Here's my favorite section, which didn't make it into either one, and I already kind of mentioned it. A woman upon whom an abortion is performed or induced, or upon whom there is an attempt to perform or induce an abortion in violation of this section. The father, if married to the woman at the time of the abortion, and the parents are custodial guardians of the woman, if the woman had not attained the age of 18 years at the time of the abortion, may in a civil action obtain appropriate relief, unless in a case where the plaintiff is not the woman upon whom the abortion was performed, the pregnancy resulted from the plaintiff's criminal conduct. So if some chick gets in a fight with another chick and kills her baby, she can be criminally liable.
No, I think what they're saying there is...
Because damages are talked about in the next section.
Now, I think what they're saying there is that the father does not have these rights if he's a rapist.
No, that's not what it's saying at all. That final criminal conduct is applying to the woman. Where the plaintiff is not the woman upon whom the abortion was performed, but the pregnant resulted from the plaintiff's criminal conduct.
Oh, okay.
So it's two different women.
That's weirdness.
Yeah, I know. Like I said, I had to go back and forth reading that over and over and over again to break down how many different parties are involved. Because you've got the woman who's getting the abortion. You've got the father. You've got the parents and or the custodial guardians, if the woman is under 18. And then some random woman who's either the one performing the abortion or a random attacker. I really still can't tell from reading the fucking language.
Right.
So it's at least five, maybe six different categories are discussed over the space of eight lines, two of which talk about her having to be under 18.
Well, this is some crazy shit. This is in the works right now.
We'd seen it had not yet passed. Well, it had passed the House, but not the Senate.
Right. So it's on its way to the Senate as of our reading about it. I haven't seen any updates. Some of these articles are a little...
Oh, yeah, the doctor doesn't have to inform them of, any health defects or anything like that that might induce them to get an abortion.
So just so everyone knows, we're going to try and get better about our referencing. We've been bad at it lately. The main article is from Addicting Info. That's the editorial. Keep in mind that editorializing on Addicting Info can be very, very harsh. Very biased, but it does give us a place to start as it links to a couple of other articles. There's one from 10TV.com, which is Central Ohio's news leader, but it is an AP release, so an Associated Press release from John Milburn. So that's where we got the meat of the more precise reporting, and then Brian took a little more time than I did, or about maybe both spent the same amount of time on the... on the text of the law itself as it currently stands. Now, don't forget, a lot of these elements may get voted out and chopped out before it actually gets approved in the Senate.
But it's got the rendering clause in there.
Oh, does
so
it?
If one section gets cut, the rest stand.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So
yeah, if they start taking the knife to it, it's going to take a long time because there are a lot of provisions. This thing is 60 some pages long. And I still can't find where life is defined.
It's pretty much craziness, but it's, you know, just in line with the stuff we reported on. We decided not to cover the story in full, but we noticed that the governor of Arizona has, what did she propose some more?
No, I think it was similar to this, but instead of just saying abortion providers, it was, yeah, we're not going to give any more tax money to Planned Parenthood.
Right. Right, because that's going to help you with your case, you idiot. We want less abortion, so let's stop giving girls information about birth control. Fucking idiots.
Damn it, if they just stay home and pray, none of this would happen.
Right, exactly. The aspirin between the knees, right? That's what they need.
Aspirin? Pfft, cozy. Cocktail napkin.
All right, so on to the real story of the week. Jesus
Christ.
This
is the one we're excited about.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Like, let's do this now. Like, why haven't we started already? This is absolutely the coolest thing I've read in a long time.
So I can just get it off my chest. Engineer who put this site together, buildtheenterprise.org.
Mm-hmm. You're an idiot.
Yeah, find out what a Whois search is and then what a DNS proxy service is.
And then redefine for yourself the term anonymous. Yeah.
Neither of us are hackers, but it took me 30 seconds to find your name, address, and your internet subscription. So I'm sorry.
And yet you stayed on your website that you're anonymous. Mm-hmm. That's not...
Beyond that, you're brilliant.
Yeah. We love you.
Do we have the Oprah quote?
Like, seriously, I will totally, at any point in time, like, be happy to have babies with you. I know you're male. It doesn't matter. Well, apparently, you can figure this shit out. So basically what this guy has done is he's conceptualized, and I don't mean he's like, hey, why don't we build the Enterprise? This guy has thought this through.
This guy has not sat down and wrote the schematics for a role-playing game where you got to make room for people to move down corridors and have, you know, whatever the bullshit is for that. No, this guy is an actual engineer.
Right.
And he's got some engineer, I believe.
Now keep in mind, it's not the Enterprise on the inside, but
it vaguely resembles it on the outside.
No, I think he's talking about really making it resemble it quite a bit on the outside. But the point here is that the structure actually ends up being really functional mm-hmm. based on today's technology, just not anywhere near the same way that it was envisioned in the science fiction. So for those of you who are nerds, you'll know immediately what we're talking about. Okay, for those of you who are not...
Give them the link.
Yeah, the link is buildtheenterprise.org. So just... Pull it up if you can, look at it, or if you're, you know, riding in your car or something like that, just for this section, you may want to look at it on your computer later. If you're a nerd, don't even worry about it. You know exactly what we're talking about. So the main saucer section would actually, the interior portion of that would actually end up being a starport, a spaceport. Okay, so the inside is large enough to accept vehicles like shuttle-like vehicles and vehicles of similar size, because this craft is enormous. It would be the largest structure ever built by human beings.
Yeah, it would house 1,000 people, I believe it said.
Yes, up to 1,000, and that would include potential tourists, essentially, visitors, yeah. non-essential personnel. There would be a small section that would be radiation shielded, so they'd be monitoring for any kind of dangerous radiation, and if they found high levels, I suppose that they would have to, because it has continuing...
Well, depending on the dimensions of the ship, I'm sure you could have a hollow center section where everyone goes in the case of, you know...
Yeah, it's in the neck. It's in the connection.
All right,
between...
here we go. I got the whole structures page up finally.
There you go. So, around the perimeter of the saucer section would be the gravity section. They'd have a gravity wheel magnetically suspended, which I'm sure we could work out technologically. We've got maglev trains, right?
That would be rather easy. I just think the only difficulty would be how do you board the... How fast is this thing rotate? What did he say the rotation speed was?
Enough to give you 1G. You worked that out.
Okay, so it was 536 meters across. So I'm sure if we have a physics major... listening audience, they could get back to us at how fast that would be, or we can find it on here somewhere, I'm sure.
Right.
But I would think passing forth between the non-rotating structure and the disk might be interesting.
Right. So in any case, the main section, the main hull section of the Enterprise, which would have the saucer, you know, the part that the saucer comes off of the top of, and then the cells come off the back.
Radiation shielding.
That would actually house the main nuclear reactor.
1.8 gigawatts.
1.5 megawatts, I think you said.
No, I got to do the Doc Brown reference.
And then, yeah, totally. And then the two nacelles would house two smaller nuclear reactors. And I think that he's probably using, you know, some...
Now, they each house the ion drives, correct?
No, no, no. The main engine and ion drive is in the main...
Is in the main hull, right?
In the main hull, yeah. Okay. And the ion drive are in use in some spacecraft right now. And so this is not imaginary stuff. There are a couple different designs out there. Yeah. From
my only question is, do you get a larger thrust for a larger ion surface?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, because that's the one I know generally how they work. You take a lump and you pass a charge through it and it shoots ions out the end. Great. But I don't know if, you know, differentiating the size, or if you just have to slip multiple nacelles in there.
He seems to think that that one can be scaled up power-wise, and that you get some economy. I think that's what he's talking about when he says that some of the elements get an economy of scale. Mm. Hopefully it's not what he's talking about when he says that some of the elements get more difficult with scale. But in any case, based on some projections that NASA has done, he's estimating that this craft could reach Mars in 90 days.
Yeah.
He's talking about engines producing 0.002 G, but it's constant acceleration, which means that because they're not taking off from the Earth, they don't have to climb out of the gravity well. They just have to escape orbit. Mm-hmm. They don't need a lot of acceleration. They don't need a huge amount of thrust. They don't need more than a G because they don't have to escape the Earth's atmosphere, the Earth's gravity well, I should say. So... since this thing will be built in space, 0.002 G constant acceleration, you run that thing for days, mm-hmm. you're going to get going pretty damn fast.
Yeah.
And then
you just got to flip over and decelerate on the other end.
Exactly. That is the one problem with this type of a drive, is that if you do discover a large object looming ahead, changing direction and or slowing down and stopping is a long process. So you become like a ship.
Slowing down and stopping is a long process. I don't think deviating your vector is going to be all that difficult.
This is going to have a lot of mass. So you're talking about
it's going to be a whale to move, but it's going to be easier than decelerating.
But in any case, this guy actually has a plan on how to finance the thing, on how to build it. He has a plan for a 100-year plan for building several of these ships, one every 33 years, basically, generationally, so that there'd be plenty of time for scientific advancement between them and so that you could spread out the cost over a larger period of time. But he envisions about 9 years of design and research, and then about 11 years of continued research and construction, testing of components, and then, of course, culminating with a final test of all systems. And
now
then
the thought occurs to me that none of his planning takes into account some of the more modern commercial endeavors like planetary resources we were talking about.
Well, it may not, because it may not have been available. He obviously has put a lot of time into this, and that information may not have been available to him.
Exactly.
But I don't see any reason why this couldn't be done, especially once the main saucer section is built, which would basically constitute another spaceport, mm-hmm. A place where...
Yeah, no. My only point is that it would possibly and more than likely accelerate his timetables.
I think it might, because if you have multiple projects...
You have more raw materials available.
Oh, potentially, and in space.
Yeah, exactly. Already there, or it could be transported here quickly. You don't have to worry about gravity wells, because you're just moving mass across...
Right. And the thing is that, for example, if they decided to build a second one and then this one were sort of being built up, it could be used mm-hmm. just to shuttle back and forth. It could orbit the moon and to provide a jump off point for ships that could land and then fuel up and then drop yeah. down to the moon and come back up. And
yeah, particularly the dark side, so we can get a lot of the clear radio testing done.
Yeah. So, I mean, the thing is that's amazing about this is that he's got... One of the things that he puts in the FAQ is, what if you're wrong? What if somebody says that this can't be done? And he says quite clearly, if someone can prove to me that this cannot be done, then I'll put up on here that, you know what? I've been convinced that this can't be done right now. You know, it may take another 50 years or so for this to happen. But he also thinks it's going to be really difficult to convince him as an engineer that it can't be done. And based on what he's showing here, I think he may be right.
I think it's going to be a matter of will.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a matter of rallying. But the thing is he's already gathering so much momentum. I think in a month, if this thing is all over the mainstream media, this could become, it has the potential to become.
I think you're going to see some serious design changes. And by the time it does get built, it's going to look less like the Enterprise and probably a little more functional.
I don't think that's very smart. I think the guy's got a real point here that doing this, using this as a symbol, like maybe they do that and don't tell anybody until it's being built.
Well, no. I'm not saying you completely lose the shape. But you get something that's, those nacelles are more than likely going to rip off that object unless they've cut some really significant.
I could see it being very difficult. But the thing is, there's not supposed to be any thrust coming from them. And there's no drag.
That's the
to
difference
worry about.
Between that and the show. The main thrust and the warp nacelles were not in.
I think maybe
in real life on the TV.
Yeah, I think maybe the real difference here would be that it won't have any warp nacelles. It won't have any warp drive. It won't be a starship. Although I will say that his 100-year plan does call for the last ship that'd be built in about 100 years would essentially be a starship. It would have. He's predicting that by that time, we may have the ability to, if you have a 1G continuous acceleration and the ability to maintain it for years, maybe you've got a 5-trip round trip to Alpha Centauri or whatnot. But so what? I mean, do you think you're going to be short of any volunteers for a 12 or 15-year mission to the next fucking star system?
Yeah, the only thing we're missing there is some kind of inertial dampener. Because that's great if we could initially boost to something
close to
near C, which is what you would be doing.
But 1G, with 1G, you don't need inertial dampeners. You just reorient the floor, and everybody's got gravity while you're accelerating.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying. Your acceleration is constant, right?
Yeah, but it's only 1G.
This is so you're not accelerating. You're maintaining a 5G.
No, you're maintaining a
1G.
Constant acceleration. So your speed is getting higher, but your acceleration factor that is being felt by the people on board is constant, 1G. The same thing with the initial design of 0.002G. That's why they need the gravity wheel in the first one. On the second one, as long as they're moving forward, they don't need a gravity wheel. Everyone just orients toward the back of the ship.
Which again goes to the strange design.
Well, yeah, that design may change dramatically, but that's the ship they're talking about building in 100 years. Yeah. They're talking about starting construction of that in 2100. So in any case, clearly, we both think this is very exciting. There may be huge problem with the design concept. I don't care.
There has been a couple of different. Projects, I'll say, that came out recently. There's the Build the Enterprise, which is moving around the solar system and eventually outside. A few months ago, before we started doing this, there was a project that came out of two guys from, I believe, MIT, where they want to set up a giant fucking maglev train down in Antarctica.
Straight up, right? The
elevator? Pretty much straight. No, not an elevator. Not an elevator. But a maglev launch system, so that you put this giant elevated maglev launch that's like literally, I think it was something like 13 miles wide, and and was charged up to something like a gigaamp. So, and then you shoot your train or launch vehicle up the maglev ramp.
Ballistically.
Yeah, ballistically up and into orbit.
Right.
And it's a hell of a lot cheaper per launch than anything else.
Mm-hmm. It has to be a lot safer.
It's a lot safer. It's a lot less commercially, physically, and resource demanding than an elevator.
But not suitable for people, I would imagine,
well,
right?
Well, no. They had two different versions. The first would be solely a cargo. Launch into near-Earth orbit cargo system.
Something that was pushing 20 Gs.
Yeah, something that was pushing huge Gs. And then a later, more expensive one with a little more gentler.
It would have to be huge. One design that I always...
Exactly, and it has to be down in some place like Antarctica where there's nobody around, because if you get near that ramp without some kind of protection, you're fucking dead.
Well, my I always imagine
that... Remember, it's like 5 amps that'll kill you, and they're talking about giga amps,
Right. I always imagined a ship design or a launch design that... where you'd have a vessel that was literally like a mile long.
Yeah.
And then you would have a substructure within it. The entire vessel would basically be a shell for a substructure within it that could at a very precise speed move backward through that shell, so to speak. So that as you would do these spurts of acceleration of ridiculous G-forces, 20 or 30 or 50 Gs, that would kill a person, right? But you do them in short spurts and you have this capsule within move backward at a sufficient speed so that you're feeling 5 Gs or 7 Gs or whatever they feel in the shuttle.
You got a mile-long capsule, but inside it is a second capsule that's much smaller.
Exactly. That's maybe 100 yards long.
Some viscous fluid or something like that that's going
to... I would imagine it probably had to be magnetic.
But something that's going to move it back and attempt some deceleration.
Basically inertial dampening, right? But that would mean that you'd have maybe even milliseconds, depending on how hard your acceleration was.
So the energy requirements, though, to get that mile long.
Well, this would require some serious, but I've always imagined that
look at what it takes to move an aircraft carrier.
Oh, I know.
And those are what, a fifth of a mile?
I know. But, you know, I'm just saying that I was imagining just using rearward motion.
Here I am questioning your energy consumption for that, and I'm talking about fucking maglev launch ramps and building the Enterprise.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. In any case, I think that this kind of ties in with a bunch of the stuff that's going on, like you said. And I'm really glad to see all this stuff because it means that maybe as part of a product of the frustration that we can clearly hear in Neil deGrasse Tyson's recent speech, that I think a lot of us in the science interest and certainly those in the scientific community, but those of us with an interest in science, I should say, are really feeling kind of frustrated that...
There's part of me that wants to reach out and grab my local senator and congressman and grab them by the lapels and shake them while screaming something like, don't you understand that this planet is the birthplace of mankind? We're not going to die here. What the fuck is your problem? Build us a space fleet. And then, like, you know, throw them back on the steps of the Capitol building.
Yeah, I mean, they make it sound like, oh, well, we can't do this and we can't do that. Well, if we fucking get out there and start trying to actually do shit, maybe we'll figure out how to do the shit, some of the shit that we can't do right now. I'm not saying that we're going to get faster than light. I'm not saying that we're going to be able to easily travel to really distant galaxies. But if we could do some shit where we're able to have like a multi-year trip to some of the closer star systems and start working from there and maybe eventually we'll work out something. Although I have to say that based on some extrapolations that I've read recently, unless there's something that we really don't get, unless there's a huge...
The only possible hope I understand right now might be the Einstein-Rosen bridge.
Right, but here's the thing.
And that's not a black hole, people. Right.
But here's the thing. Even though there are multiple... even though there's a lot of space out there, right? And even though we think there may be a huge number of planets out there, there's a new study that's talking about how they think that there may be far more rogue planets out there and rogue planets that have been captured by stars than there are stars out there, because they're talking about now, based on what they're seeing in these new star systems developing, they're thinking that it's probable that many star systems initially develop with 20 or 30 planets, but because of various factors,
look at our asteroid field. That's
right.
Just something either coming apart or waiting to come together.
Right. So because of various factors, a lot of these things end up getting slingshotted out of the system by getting interconnected gravitationally with other planets.
Oh my God, it's just like that Solar 2 that I downloaded on the Xbox. Have you played that shit?
I haven't. You know I haven't played shit on the Xbox. It's sitting on the floor right in front of your feet.
I'm sorry. It was an indie game that they released in the Xbox arcade. Our friend John was over one day and we were looking for something to play, and I found it. I downloaded it for like $1. And the idea of the game is you start off as this little tiny asteroid. And you've got to move just fast enough to smack into other asteroids until you accrete enough of a disk to become a planet.
Nice.
And then you have to go around collecting moons, which become other planets. And as you collect enough planets, you can then grow those to become stars. And then you have a multiple star system, each with multiple planets and moons.
Cool.
And eventually you grow so large that everything condenses. You become a black hole and you swap around and consume the entire galaxy.
And then it spits
everything else out and starts all over again.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, this is a fucking awesome game.
So all this stuff is kind of coming together in a really cool way. And I'm starting to get more hopeful that some really amazing shit may happen in our lifetimes, because people are finally getting the picture that, you know.
I will tell you, when I was a kid, I was sure that by now we would have some kind of commercial establishment in orbit.
Right.
That there would be some, you know, we could go to the space station we saw in 2001.
Well, hey, we grew up during the heyday, during the development of the shuttle project. And that was a huge step up. I mean, reusable craft and landable craft. I mean, it was such a huge thing.
I remember NASA coming to our school and talking about the space program and bringing heat tiles from the shuttle and sitting there with the torch going, now look, this is what it does. Psh! Notice it's not even changing color from this map gas gun. Okay, let me get the bigger one out.
Nice.
And I was showing us the polycarbonate. It was just amazing. I think this was like fourth or fifth grade, because it was the year before the Challenger.
Well, and people were excited. Yeah. Okay, and there was a lot of interest, and the public was behind it, and a nice chunk of the budget was going to it. NASA was well funded. And yeah, NASA made some, they got caught up in the whole bureaucratic administrative bullshit, and they spent way too much money, and they're really inefficient and all this other stuff, but
they are a government bureaucracy.
Exactly. I mean, let's cut them a little bit of fucking slack here. They had some pretty heavy shit to get done, and they were getting money thrown at them, and they're a new organization, and I don't need to make excuses for them. They've done some amazing shit.
And they're atoning.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, Kepler alone, look at what they've done with Kepler in a couple years. You know what I mean? Look at what they've done with the
Mars program has been amazing.
Yeah, so if we can get back involved in it, since we had to bail out on the manned Mars mission, yeah. or it looks like we're going to have to.
Yeah, we're going to have to do some hashtag, you know, a penny to the NSA. What is it, a penny for NASA?
I'll give him a fucking dollar.
No. It's the Tyson's thing, where he's always going around talking about if you double the budget and give him a whole penny on every tax dollar.
Right.
Yeah, they'll have the money to do, and he just lists every program that they've ever dreamed about doing, and he's all, yeah, it'll double their budget that they've, you know, ever had.
Right.
So there's a Twitter campaign going around that I believe it's the hashtag is a penny for NASA.
Nice. Well, if I got off my ass and started tweeting a little more, maybe I'd know that. Sorry, people. I know that I can engage better if I tweet to you guys and put more stuff on the Facebook page. And I've been meaning to, every time we get an article on there, this is what I want to start doing, is when I get an article posted up, when one of us finds one and shares it on there, one of the two of us will immediately just share it on Twitter. It takes five seconds, but we just don't do it because we're fucktards. So
lazy fucktards.
Exactly. Thank you for refining my...
Because I'll tell you, while I was sick last week, I didn't do shit. I played Skyrim for about 4 days straight.
Nice. Yeah. All right, so that
features ain't amazing.
That really was the core of today's show. I was really excited about this. I just heard about it day before yesterday and was really excited about it. And
it's funny, I'd already heard about it a day or two before and shared it with my dad, and just assumed that you would come across it on your own.
Right, right. So kind of tying into that is my topic of interest for the week, which is SpaceX. I think I may have mentioned it before, but it hasn't been a topic of interest yet. And so tying in with this whole space exploration theme, SpaceX is SpaceX.com. It is a private company that won a contract.
Mm-hmm. Private company founded and run by billionaires. But
right. Yes. It's not.
Yay for billionaires in my book.
Yeah. It shows no signs of being profitable. Go Tony Stark. Anytime soon. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. in any case, what we're seeing here is a private company that has developed a modular system with some lifting bodies, some craft capable of taking up small manned vessels and using the same engines plugged into a larger structure.
That's a commercial rocket.
Right. Getting vehicles that can put up large, heavy cargo shipments up into orbit. Mm-hmm. And there's a pretty monumental thing going on, hopefully this weekend, if there's no further delays. It has been delayed a couple weeks yet, and this is all important stuff. There was some software issues with the docking software. We want to make sure that that everything goes successfully. It's unmanned, so there's not going to be any people going up, but they're launching.
But there is going to be a kid back in a bunker with a Nintendo controller.
Totally. Yeah. they're launching one of their Falcon 9 and Dragon combinations. So the Falcon 9 is the 9-engine rocket system. They basically have a Falcon 1 that's a very small craft.
They have a range of rockets for yes. the consumer's needs.
Yes.
If you're looking for light payloads, perhaps the...
right, and then they have a Falcon Heavy, which is what I was talking about for heavier payloads.
Yeah, Falcon
payloads.
Heavy looks very similar to, I want to say, almost the Gemini launch system. Because it's got the external... Well, no, I guess those aren't external tanks. Those are external boosters, along with the central booster, and then obviously it's got the Dragon capsule on top.
Yeah, the Falcon Heavy reminds me almost of the shuttle launch system. A very large central rocket, two huge boosters on either side. Very, very heavy lifting body. The Falcon 9 reminds me more of like the Apollo.
The Saturns.
And Saturn. Type of deals, and then
now the Dragon, is that the unmanned, or it's the manned but currently unmanned capsule, right?
Correct. Yeah. The Dragon's the capsule that sits on top, and there you can see it if you hit the Dragon page. Excuse me, you can see
learn more
the capsule with with the
solar panels extended
and so forth. So free flying reusable spacecraft. It's a splash lander, going back to old school a little bit, but it's capable of docking. This is what the mission's about this weekend, capable of docking with the ISS. So they're sending it up automated right now. It's going to get really close and I think maybe tether, and then a couple people from the ISS are going to have to sort of coordinate the connection and docking of the two vehicles, which is supposed to be a pretty precise, you know, how to... Mm-hmm. A very complex operation, a lot of safety issues involved. But this is the test, the final test. If this is successful, I think, then they'll go ahead and start sending up resupply and eventually, I would hope, they get some people up there as well so we can stop paying the Russians.
Do they publish their price per kilogram?
Or what their rates are going to be? Well, they mentioned that there's a $1.6 billion contract representing a minimum of 12 flights with an option to order additional missions for a cumulative total value of $3.1 billion contract. It doesn't mention any specific weights in the Dragon section, but it does say that it's a 6,000 kilogram payload up mass to low Earth orbit, 3,000 kilogram payload.
Did you say 6,000 kilogram payload?
Yeah. Up mass, so it can take 6,000 kilograms up, and it can come back down, I guess, with 3,000 kilograms.
Oh.
And it's 10.
Because it says on the Dragon page that it's only 1,290 kilograms of propellant. From suborbital insertion to ISS rendezvous to reentry.
Right.
Oh, okay. Sorry, that's not talking about the booster requirements.
No, that's once it's up there.
That's once it's up there. Yeah. Sorry, I hadn't finished the entire sentence. I had stopped it.
Yeah, so it's got 10 square meters of pressurized storage and 14 square meters of unpressurized storage. And 7 passengers.
You know, this kind of... I must be in a really violent mood today, because this kind of crap makes me want to dig up Heinlein and slap him around for having made me read the stories he wrote, like, you know, have spacesuit, will travel. Hey, look, the boys built a rocket ship in the backyard.
Well, one of the things that I was getting at is that all the technology is accelerating really fast. And with everyone working on all these different projects privately, I think we've really got the possibility now that we're going to see, you know, some really cool stuff developing really quickly. I'm a little worried because I think that with all this rapid advancement, there's going to be some mistakes. There's probably going to be some tragedies.
Well, you know what? I would rather end up in a Heinlein world than a William Gibson world. And if we're looking at corporate, exploration versus public, I guess you could say.
It doesn't have to end up terrible.
Yeah, it doesn't have to. You're absolutely right. And for the most part, we've figured it out as we bumbled along. So I'm happy about that. But, just thinking along those terms of, you know, speculative science fiction. Yeah. I'd rather have Heinlein's idealized, you know, Americana space.
Right.
Or even, who's another good description of that kind of thing? You know, I'd rather have that than any of the cyberpunk visions of
Well, let's, you know, hope
Blade Runner-esque.
Let's hope we don't end up with a dystopia. I know that a utopia is not very likely, but you know, let's just hope it's not too.
Yeah, well, that was kind of the funny thing. That's one of the things I did enjoy about Heinlein's more children's novels, is that he didn't picture space or humanity as being perfect. There were always bad guys and villains, and they did some pretty nasty shit in his stories.
Same thing with Amazon, with Asimov.
Yeah, Asimov.
There are plenty of, you know, even with the initial colonies in the early stories with Daniil Oliva and all that, the whole the whole robot series. They had their issues. There's planets with 200 people on it and 1,000 robots each, and they're all isolated, never see each other. The babies are raised by robots and all this crazy shit. But it's not dystopic. I mean, there's still a quality of life there, and there wasn't there was no crime, and most people seemed like they were pretty happy, and Earth wasn't horrible. It just
horrible segue here. Did you see the article that they do not believe now that you can identify children as psychopaths? Only that they may potentially have psychopathic tendencies.
That's enough, as long as we can keep an eye on people.
But they're pretty certain that they've identified those tendencies.
That's good. Yeah. All right, well, since we're wandering so much, I think it's time to move on to Brian's topic of interest for the week, which is...
Which, amazingly, again, ties into everything else we've been talking about tonight.
Well, holy shit, it's almost like we planned it.
Oh, it's so weird. In this case, I have to give credit where credit is due. I came across this accidentally. And then later the same day, I came across it on Penny Arcade's report. This is a tentative game called Artemis, which you can find at artemis.eochu.com. And this is, as he... Oh, you know, I close out of the page. Dang it. All right. I'll just go from the FAQ page. It's a starship simulator. When he was younger, he and his friends wanted to get together and play Star Trek. But, you know, this is back when they had Commodore 64s, so he couldn't really set it up then. And he's been thinking about it this whole time, and he finally decided a year or two ago to, you know, put it together. So what he's done is he's come up with a game design that's really intended for small LAN parties. If you purchase or receive the full game, there are six deck slots and then the commander, who sits in the middle of the room, you know, as the captain, sitting on the bridge. And everyone else takes a different bridge officer spot, like helm or engineering or communications, weapons, etc. And the captain sits in the room, doesn't have direct access to anything, but gives all the orders and requests information. And then you put one computer up in the front that has the main display.
Right.
And the game itself initially comes with one setting called Invasion, which is you're defending a sector against invasion. You can go in there and change any of the parameters. So you can set the number of enemies and how many ships and how strong they are and the way they fight. And you can go in and change the physical parameters. So what's actually in this sector and how many different space stations are you defending and that kind of thing.
So basically you've got Kirk control over the Kobayashi Maru.
Absolutely. But then with some of the later upgrades, it says, as you go through the FAQ, they've added the ability to make it even more Star Trek-like, so you can introduce, like, characters and situations instead of just making it pure combat. So you can now have to go explore a sector and find, you know, it makes it more MMO-like, I guess you could say.
That's cool.
So, all of this you can get for a measly $40.
Yeah, no shit. I mean, come on.
And that's that craziness. Purchases, six licenses, so you can install it on up to six systems. But it has no DRM, so he's having a lot of faith in you. On top of that, if you want to get a free copy of the game, I thought this was pretty interesting. If you download the demo and set it up with a couple of friends, you can only play with three people. If you video record it and take a, or if you video record it, this is the 90s. If you take video of yourself and a snapshot and you put it up on YouTube and send him a copy of the information showing where he can find it and a copy of you, a still image of you guys playing the game, he'll send you an absolutely free copy of it. You can find more details on it. There's a link on the main page. But whether or not, I mean, it's only $40. The graphics aren't that amazing.
Wait, let me stop you right there. Just so everyone knows, we're totally fucking doing this like this weekend. I mean, this is a no-brainer.
We're going to track one more person down.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. This is like, I mean, I've never really fantasized about having a computer game where I got to be Captain Kirk in the middle of the bridge or be Spock over there on the science station or whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's only because I never really thought like someone would go through all the trouble to make that work. And now that somebody has, it's like, holy shit, this guy is fucking... Although I do have to say that looking at the picture on the FAQ page at the people sitting around...
You know the people who play this game.
Wow, these are some
I know a lot of those people.
Graduate level nerds. They look a lot like me and Brian.
Oh, come on now. You're much slenderer than these people.
There's a skinny guy
in
here.
Oh, is there a skinny guy in there?
Kind of. The guy on one of the laptops sitting down.
Oh, yeah, I see him.
And the guy in the background with the...
Oh, with the thinning hair, yeah. Yeah, but no, this is absolutely... It looks amazing from a gameplay point of view. If you're looking for graphic quality, let me remind you, this is written by one person. And for what he's done, honestly, it looks like a late 90s game. At least when it comes to the, if you look through the picture,
that's just money. Yeah, it's just money.
But he's doing this as a labor of love. He doesn't want anybody helping him on it. He's doing all the programming himself. So for that point of view, I'm looking at it because I read through some of his stuff on here. Mm-hmm. So I have no problem with him doing that. It's his game. Do it the way you want. He's using a lot of stuff that he's developed over the years as he's been building other games. So he's relying on a lot of old code. Which is why I say, yeah, the interfaces look like they're a late 90s point-and-click adventure kind of interface. Mm-hmm. The graphics, I think, are a little bit more updated than that, but it's not, it's no way in Unreal Engine quality, let's put it that way. You know, they look like computer models. They don't look like, top-of-the-line images.
Right.
But I don't care. I think the gameplay is going to be amazing.
I think it might be. We'll find out soon since I've just downloaded the demo.
I know I need to download it as well.
Getting it ready to install. Anyway. I definitely encourage anybody who's into this stuff to check this out. This game looks awesome. We haven't tried it yet. Maybe next week we can follow up if we have a chance to try it between now and then. I would definitely hope so. In any case, we're getting... up close to our hour time period here, so let's get moving right along to our let me get back to my screen here. What should we be on now? Is it the game?
Do we do game and then feedback?
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, we do game and then feedback. So let's refresh our page and see. Okay, I'm out of date on that one, but
what do we have?
We have key Murdoch aide to be prosecuted in hacking case.
I've got American split on Obama's gay marriage decision.
Oh, that was... No, I've still got that one down below. I'm refreshing. I'm still showing that one a second.
That's odd.
Very odd.
Yeah, I just refreshed.
See? I'm showing this Google has given us different articles.
Very interesting. Well, I wonder if they're customizing the page based on interest or something. But in any case...
Yeah, because your first three are completely different than mine.
They are.
Yeah, I heard about the new president in France, but I don't know anything about him.
I think this works out really well because we're short on time. Yeah. We already covered Obama's gay marriage decision. We don't want to know much about the others, and they certainly don't seem all that interesting. The new French president, I'm sure I'll read something about that and be informed on it at some point.
The only thing I know
today.
About him is his name is Hollande. And the first thing he did once being elected into office was fly to Germany to talk to Merkel.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Shows the power of the Germans in the Union right now.
Right, right. So that means that I got to get back to my window again. Why am I having trouble with this? Did I close it for some reason? What's wrong with me?
I don't know.
Okay. So now we're on to listener feedback and story follow-up. We don't have any follow-up this week on any of the stories except for that kind of little thing with the governor of Arizona who we've covered passing bullshit laws is apparently ready to pass another one. But we do have some listener feedback. And Brian?
Yes?
We have a fangirl.
I know.
A self-described fangirl. And that's almost impossible to
with
believe.
A punny name.
Totally with a punny name. A clever punny name. Not even like a stupid, like, wow, I can't believe she
not
actually...
Not even like, you know, I have what I call a punny name on some of the stuff I do, and it's not really a punny name.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually punny.
So, we have this is actually feedback on our episode 12, which you can find at broadlyfocus.com/BFE12. That's for Broadly Focused episode, not Buttfuck Egypt. She says, your show is fantastic.
I was always going to question you on that choice of acronym.
It wasn't unintentional.
Sorry, not acronym, initialism.
Yeah. She says, your show is fantastic. That's just not true. I'm sorry. Don't lie to us. No, we appreciate that. That's nice to say. She
you
says,
are the
she,
biggest.
I can't get enough. It's so smart and funny and wickedly blasphemous. This is a little uncomfortable reading this now that I think that people are going to listen to me bragging about ourselves. I heard you mentioned another podcast, Cognitive Dissonance, maybe, and was delighted at discovery. You have a new fangirl here. This comes from Articulette. And I have to say, again, I replied online, but thank you very much. I can't. It's really cool to see something like this. We've been a little bit desperate for feedback of any kind. And to be honest, we've really been expecting to get Raging Christians, and we just haven't gotten any yet. And this kind of support, it really makes this feel awesome. Even though we missed an episode last week, we're into this. We're having fun doing it. But still,
last week was hell for everybody.
Yeah, we had a really bad week. We got personal stuff and sick and out of work and all kinds of craziness.
Yeah, so. I mean, I'd be happy to talk about my swollen feet because I still don't know what the fuck happened.
Yeah. And I'd be happy to talk about my mom in the hospital, but we don't have a whole bunch of time, and it's a whole big can of worms with my mom being fairly nutty. But in any case, I certainly hope that we turned you on to Cognitive Dissonance or any other podcast in the genre. There's a bunch of good ones out there.
I think you got that backwards, man. Brush up on your reading skills there. I heard you mentioned on another podcast.
Oh.
And was delighted at the discovery.
Oh, shit.
So she's giving a tip of the hat to Cognitive Dissonance.
So, saying they introduced them to us. Right on. I'm an idiot.
So you should be saying, thank you, Cognitive Dissonance, for referencing
and
us.
And I already put it in writing, and it's out there permanent in the inner tubes that I'm an idiot and can't manage to read and grasp the intent, the meaning behind someone's very, very correctly structured sentence here. Yeah, we didn't turn you on to Cognitive Dissonance. They turned you on to us, which only makes sense since people actually listen to their show, which is right.
And our subscriber level seems to have held steady.
Yeah, we're getting a few. We actually got a big influx when they did mention us, which was really, really kind of them. They're cool guys, and it's a cool show. I just got done listening to this week's yesterday. And I actually feel kind of good every time this happens. I actually feel like we're a little bit, they wouldn't maybe cover this, but I feel like some of the other shows this weekend, like, Skeptic's Guide and a couple others, haven't covered this Enterprise story yet, and I feel like maybe we've been able to scoop some of the scientific and skeptical shows out there.
Maybe they're just afraid to handle the kind of hard news that we handle.
Build the Enterprise?
Yeah. I don't know.
It was a good try, man. Anyway, Articulette, even though I'm an idiot and misread what you were saying, we really appreciate you listening. We really appreciate that you like it. Any suggestions you might have, plug them in, and We're hoping to very soon start featuring listeners on the show. We've got a few people who we've communicated with. We've got a very open format and an open discussion type of a feel between the two of us that we enjoy. And so we still do intend. We've had some scheduling issues between the two of us, which is why we haven't tried to get in contact with our two early supporters, C-Web and Jonathan, to get scheduled with them. To record and get on, or possibly come on the show live or whatever works. But we are going to do that soon. We want to maybe try and replace the game with bits and pieces of conversations that we have with some of our listeners and so forth. And maybe even eventually some, we can go offline and do some Google Plus Hangout type stuff and then put pieces of that, now that we can record that, put pieces of that into the show or whatnot. But in any case, we're going to try and keep the show moving forward and have new stuff going on. But for right now, I think we have pretty much covered it.
Yeah, I think we hit everything that we had on the list.
And look at this. We are an hour, 4 minutes, which is...
With editing, that's like 1 hour, 3.
Yeah, no editing this time. Again, another live episode, which is what we want to be doing. So hopefully one of these days we'll go live in some format and take your calls live and have 3 of our 100 listeners being able to listen on as we're doing this. But in any case, for now, everyone have a great week. We will talk to you next time.
Thanks again.
Yeah. Please download and listen with any device and software you like, but if you can, subscribe in iTunes. It really helps us out. Our website is broadlyfocused.com. Our Twitter feed is at broadlyfocused. Matt's personal feed is at godlessmatt. And then there's facebook.com/broadlyfocused. You can find our LinkedIn profile.